You're listening to Red Eye on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO 102.7 FM.
Vancouver Island is home to some of the world's most spectacular ancient temperate forests, including the world's largest Douglas fir and western red cedar trees. The island's forests are very diverse. They range from wet rainforests with towering Sitka spruce trees to dry east side forests of Garry oak and arbutus to high elevation yellow cedars and mountain hemlocks. In the last 150 years, three quarters of these forests have been logged. The Western Canada Wilderness Committee is calling for an immediate ban on any further old growth logging in some ecosystems on the island and a slow phase out in others. At the same time, they want to see a ban on raw log exports from public and private corporate lands. Ken Wu is campaign director with the Wilderness Committee. He joins me on the line this morning from Victoria. Good morning, Ken.
Hi, thanks for having me here, Peter.
You're welcome. So where would you like to see an immediate ban on the old growth logging?
Well, we've done a satellite image analysis based on the year 2004 data, which shows that the rarest ecosystem types are on the South Island and the east side of the island. So south of Barkley Sound, south of the Alberni Canal, we've got 87% of the original old growth forest logged. Only 13% of the original old growth, productive old growth, still remains on the South Island. That's a place for an immediate ban. On the east side of the island, in the coastal Douglas fir zone and in the dry coastal western hemlock zone, we've got about 98% of the original old growth logged, meaning we have about 1 to 2% of those areas remaining. We want to see an immediate ban on the east side dry ecosystems. Also, in the valley bottoms, where the big fat trees grow, the best growing conditions, 90% of the valley bottom old growth has been logged on the island. So we want an immediate ban in the low elevation valley bottoms. And on the rest of the island, depending on the ecosystem type, we want to see an end to old growth logging across the island by 2015.
So now, why is it necessary to have an immediate ban, in your opinion?
Because there's so little left of these low elevation and east and southern forest types. I mean, it's like shooting black rhinos. When you cut down an ancient Douglas fir, when 99% of them are already logged, you're committing a crime. And this is something that shouldn't be tolerated ethically. We just need that reflected in law now.
Now, is it important also to, so that these are not just isolated spots of old growth that continue to exist?
Well, in the east and south sides, there's not a lot left. That's why we want an immediate ban. On the rest of the island, on the entire island, 75% of the original productive old growth has been logged, meaning we have one-fourth of the productive old growth left. And we want that protected, all of it, by 2015.
Now, so you also mentioned just earlier that you're recommending a different approach for the rest of the old growth on Vancouver Island. Can you tell us about that?
That's all just about phasing out by 2015 the areas not for immediate ban. So in the west side, the very wet ecosystems, you have substantially more. In the hyper-maritime and the wet maritime, you have around 40 to 60% of the original old growth still there. Those areas, we still need to bring old growth logging to an end in those areas, but it's a place where we can make a transition into slower second growth logging while the industry phases out old growth logging. So we believe that we can end old growth logging, save the remainder, and also allow industry to have a transition into second growth, and that partly relies on phasing out of old growth logging in places where the ban doesn't have to be immediate. In the future, as more old growth comes online, and now this takes, you know, decades to a couple centuries, then conceivably we could have old growth logging in the future, but this time it's got to be lower than the annual growth rates of the forest. That way we'll always have old growth.
Yes, that makes a lot of sense. So now, how much of the ecosystems that we've been talking about are presently actually protected by parks?
Well, our park system only protects 6% of the productive forest types on Vancouver Island. Productive means the places where the trees grow quickly. So most of that is unprotected. It's either been clear cut or it's the remaining productive old growth. We got 6% of that.
Huh. Now, you're calling in your campaign for protection of old growth forests and protection of jobs. How do you propose to protect jobs if you recommend a reduction in the industrial logging of old growth?
Well, the main thing is that we've got to do more with less. So instead of sending raw log exports to the United States and Japan, and therefore exporting BC milling jobs, if we're going to reduce the rate of cut, we need to, but at the same time, maintain forestry employment levels here in British Columbia. We need to value add, create more jobs per cubic meter of wood cut. So it means making wood available to the value-added sector, people who make furniture, people who make musical instruments, people who make paneling, people who make prefabricated homes, instead of sending the logs off to the United States and Japan without doing any processing, which is the Liberals have ramped up raw log exports by threefold since they've come to power.
Huh. Do you have the support of the woodworking unions on this approach to jobs?
On the raw logs issue, we are working together actively with many unions and timber communities. So last weekend, actually, we had a rally with 250 workers and environmentalists together in Victoria, a very historic event. And it was the steel workers, the pulp and paper workers of Canada, the BC Federation of Labor, Save Our Valley Alliance, as well as environmentalists who were protesting raw log exports. Last year, raw log exports totaled almost 5 million cubic meters. That's equivalent of losing about 3,300 milling jobs to foreign mills. I mean, we could save over 100 Walbrand-sized valleys, and it still wouldn't equal the job losses due to raw log exports.
Now, what about training workers and where the funding would come from to actually make this sort of huge transition you're talking about?
Well, right now, the BC, the major corporations are paying less for our public trees, our publicly owned wood, than the value of those trees. We have incredibly valuable old-growth wood in British Columbia, as well as the wood in general here is slightly slower growing than you find in the U.S., higher quality. And so we need to increase the amount that the public gets for our public resources. And from those taxes or those stumpage fees, there's various rents that we can charge to the corporations. Those funds then go into a workers' retraining program to train them in things like value-added, train them for other kind of jobs if that's where they want to go.
Now, do you see any place for logging in old-growth forests?
On Vancouver Island, right now, no. In the future, there could be more old growth, but that takes decades to centuries. In the southern British Columbia, no, there's too little left. In northern British Columbia, though, where it's still almost all old growth, say in the central and north coasts and in the boreal, it's simply impossible to ban old growth logging. You've got thousands of First Nations in the area, many of them have logging interests. If they're going to do any logging, the only thing that's available is old growth. The trick there is to do it right, to do it slowly. And there's too little to play with here and experiment with down on the island now. But on the central and north coasts and on the north, as long as we have large protected areas, we need a lot more of them up there, then we can do slower, more sustainable logging of old growth that's less than the annual growth rates. And that'll maintain the old growth in the long run.
Now, you've just concluding a 10-day campaign to raise awareness about this issue. So what do you have planned for today?
Today is going to be the Ring Around the Legislature rally. Our goal is to have 500 people join hands and encircle the entire government, calling for the protection of ancient forests and for a ban on raw log exports, and to ensure justice for First Nations whose unceded territories that we're on. So it's going to be a mix of environmentalists, some forestry workers, and many First Nations speakers, and we'll be encircling the entire government.
That's great. What about if someone can't make it to the legislature but wants to support your campaign, what can they do?
We have a new website, which is www.viforest.org. That's forest singular. www.viforest.org. There you can sign an online petition. I'm hoping all the listeners will do this at the least. And also download some hard copies and circulate them. And write letters to government, come out to rallies that we organize in the future. But in the meantime, that website is a great place to go, viforest.org. It's the actions of as many people as possible to raise awareness among an even bigger crowd and getting them all speaking up to government that will result in success in the end. And I'm confident we will be able to protect our forests and our jobs as enough people speak up.
Well, thanks very much for talking with me this morning, Ken.
Hey, thanks for having me, Peter.
I've been speaking with Ken Wu, Campaign Director with the Western Canada Wilderness Committee. As you heard, you can go to viforest.org to find out more information, or there's also a direct link from our website at corpradio.org/redeye.